Acclaimed new production of Verdi's Shakespearean masterpiece on BBC Radio 3, Saturday night at 6 o'clock.
Well, back to this Thursday night, it's 11 o'clock, and time for Late Junction with Max Reinhardt.
Thank you. Americano Meccano by Get the Blessing, a piece that pleasingly reminds me of a downbeat incarnation of the music of Frank Zappa circa the Hot Rats era. Get the Blessing will be performing on the Lake Junction stage at the Latitude Festival. Actually, it sounds like they were already there. But it's only three weekends away now, 13th to 15th of July, and we'll be broadcasting their set on Lake Junction shortly after that. And so, welcome to Lake Junction. I'm Max Reinhardt, and if you feel like it, do contact us. You can email us, late.junction@bbc.co.uk. You can text us, I'll give you the number in a little while, or send me a tweet at imaxreinhardt. Later on, I'm going to play an epic movement from a late Beethoven piano sonata, which seems to hint at the jazz and boogie-woogie that lay 100 years in the future. But time now for a Cesaria Evora moment. Sadly, the barefooted diva of Cape Verde is no longer with us, but she is being remembered on a new CD called Cesaria Evora And, which fondly recalls some of her finest duets and collaborations. Here she is with Salif Keita, performing one of his songs, Yamore.
Sobreviver nessa tormenta, na brandura e calmaria, nós já morta bem descansado, disse luta e resistência, para sobreviver nessa tormenta.
Thank you.
The Evening Laid Down Upon Us by Seamus Fogarty. He's from County Mayo, but I met him in a Vietnamese cafe near Old Street in London, where he handed me his CD, God Damn You Mountain, and recommended the barbecue pork loin with rice vermicelli. His album continues to delight, and the pork loin hit the spot as well. On the other hand, virtuoso pianist and composer Frederick Zhevsky used a real work song, Winsborough Cotton Mill Blues, as the basis of this next piece, which he naturally called Winsborough Cotton Mill Blues, and why not? The cotton mill workers would sing their blues over the mighty sound of the turbines. Pianist Rolf van Raat writes that the piano part becomes like a machine itself. As the piece develops, the song melody emerges from the machine noise and then gets drowned out again.
Thank you.
Ralph Van Raat performing Winsborough Cotton Mill Blues No. 4 of Frederick Zhevsky's Four North American Ballads. To match the epic struggle between humans and machines, here's a song about the epic struggle between man and woman. The Moulettes were a big hit on the Lake Junction stage last year at the Latitude Festival and recently released their second album, The Bear's Revenge. From it comes this beautiful incarnation of melancholy love filled with strings and harmonies. Some Who You Love.
Sounds like wish I had a special car. Oh, I wish I had a yellow car. Drive you home, drive you home in the morning. Wish I had a yellow car. Drive you home in the morning. Wish I had yellow fur. Keep you warm. I'll keep you warm in the winter.
Yellow Car, Yellow Dog by Otis Taylor. It's the story of a poor man who wishes he had some money so that he can win the love of a woman. Otis started playing in the late 60s and 70s and then gave it up for a while to become an antiques dealer. Easily done. He came roaring back with 10 albums in the last 10 years, though. So maybe it's music, not money, that wins the love of a woman. Who knows? If you've got any advice to offer, email us at late.junction@bbc.co.uk, text on 83111, or send me a tweet at imaxreinhardt. Don't forget that Late Junction will be broadcasting live from the Edinburgh Festival Fringe in August, and you can be in the audience. Verity Sharp will be introducing artists from both the main festival and the Fringe in two live shows on Tuesday 21st and Thursday 23rd August at the BBC's own venue at Potterrow. And guess what? Tickets are free. Just go to bbc.co.uk tickets, that's /tickets, click on radio shows and you can apply there. Or you can call the BBC studio audience line on 0370 901 1227. That was 0370 901 1227. The broadcast will of course start at 11 o'clock and end at 12:30. Far away from the wondrous hurly-burly of the Edinburgh Festival, here's two very tranquil short pieces by John Cage from his 1985 work, 13 Harmonies. Cage specifies that the pieces are made using chance operations to determine subtractions of different sorts from anthems and congregational music written by composers who were at least 20 years old at the time of the American Revolution, for any suitable instruments, including the 18th century ones, if they are available. New York, Andrew Law, and Brunswick, James Lyon, from Cage's 13 Harmonies, performed by Roger Zahab on violin and Eric Moe on harpsichord and portative organ. Back in 1958, John Cage created a work entitled Music Walk, and this summer, as part of the Cage centenary celebrations, BBC Proms have created the Music Walk project. Reflecting Katie's interest in soundscape and image, 10 pieces of music by 10 different composers have been commissioned, inspired by 10 locations close to the Royal Albert Hall. From this Sunday, the 10 works will be available for download, and if you're in the area, look out for special signs in the Albert Hall locale, which will provide further information about each composition and location. A music walk map will also be provided on the website, so you can listen on your headphones while you walk. For online downloads, map and full details, log on to bbc.co.uk/proms/cage. Here's another piece from the Pre-Italia and Radiophonic Experimentation Collection. It's from a work called Ritratto di Erasmo, The Retraction of Erasmus, which marked the fifth centenary of the great Dutch humanist monk when it was presented in 1969. In this section of the play, Erasmus is setting to work on a new edition of the Gospels in his quest for an exact interpretation of the Holy Scriptures. And you'll hear Bruno Maderna's arrangement of a piece from the 15th century, Hoc est pulchrum Evangelium.
Se, quando uscì l'elogio della follia, la reazione dei frati fu violenta e piovvero accuse gravissime sull'autore, anche maggiore fu la reazione quando si apprese che Erasmo stava approntando una nuova edizione dei Vangeli. Ma Erasmo non si lasciava intimidire dal pericolo di sembrare poco ossequioso verso la tradizione della Chiesa. Anzitutto egli fa notare, nella prefazione alla sua edizione del Nuovo Testamento, che se non si fissa prima il testo della lezione dei libri sacri, non si può neppure passare alla esatta interpretazione. Quindi il lavoro dei grammatici deve precedere quello dei teologi.
Don't want to be involved in this one, man. This is gonna be a blues number.
Yeah.
But first, I want to do a little bit of background on the blues and say what it is. Like, there are six cardinal colors, and colors have always come to signify more than simply that particular shade, like redneck or got the blues. That's where you apply colors to something else, you know, to come up with what it is you're trying to say. So there are six cardinal colors: yellow, red, orange, green, blue, and purple. And there are 3,000 shades. And if you take these 3,000 shades and divide them by six, you'll come up with 500. Meaning there are at least 500 shades of the blues. For example, there's the I ain't got me no money blues. There is the I ain't got me no woman blues. There's the I ain't got me no money and I ain't got me no woman, which is the double blues. And for years it was thought that black people was the only one who could get the blues, so the blues hadn't come into no international type of fame. But lately we done had Frank Rizzo with the lie detector blues. We done had the United States government talking about the energy crisis blues. And we're gonna dedicate this next poem here to Spearhead X. The ex-second in command in terms of this country.
Got the blues.
And the poem is called H2O G-A-T-E Blues. And if H2O is still water and G-A-T-E is still gate, what we're getting ready to deal on is the Watergate Blues. Let me see if I can dial this number right quick. Click. Whirr, click. I'm sorry. The government you have elected is inoperative. Click. Inoperative. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon. Very surprising that we all could see the plot and still could not. Let me do that part again. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon. Very surprising that we all could see the plot and claimed that we could not. Just how blind, America? Just as Vietnam exploded in the rice, snap, crackle, and pop could not stop people determined to be free. Just how blind will America be? The shock of a Vietnam defeat sent Republican donkeys scurrying down on Wall Street. And when the roll was called, it was Pepsi Cola and Phillips 66, Boeing, Dow, and Lockheed. Ask them what they're fighting for, and they'll never mention the economics of war. Ecological warfare, above all else, destroy the land. If we can't break the Asian will, we'll bomb the dikes and starve the man. America, the international Jekyll and Hyde, the land of a thousand disguises, sneaks up on you but rarely surprises. Plundering the Asian countryside in the name of Fu Manchu. Afraid of shoeless, undernourished Cambodians while we strike big wheat bargains with Russia, our nuclear enemy. Just how blind, America? But tell me, who was around where Hale Boggs died? And what was the cause of LBJ's untimely demise? And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How long will the citizens sit and wait? It's looking like Europe in 38. Did they move to stop Hitler before it was too late? How long, America, before the consequences of keeping the school system segregated, allowing the press to be intimidated, watching the price of everything soar, and hearing complaints because the rich want more? It seems that Macbeth and not his lady went mad. We've let him eliminate the whole middle class. The dollar's the only thing we can't inflate, while the poor go on without a new minimum wage. But what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, and there are those who say America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How much more evidence do the citizens need that the election was sabotaged by trickery and greed? And if this is so, and who we got didn't win, let's do the whole goddamn election over again. The obvious key to the whole charade would be to run down all of the games they played. Remember Dieter Beard and ITT, the slaughter of Attica, the CIA in Chile, knowing nothing about Allende at this time in the past, as I recollect, Augusta, Georgia, the nomination of Supreme Court justice to head off the tapes, William Calley's executive interference in the image of John Wayne, Kent State, Jackson State, Southern Louisiana, hundreds of unauthorized bombing raids, the chaining and gagging of Bobby Seale. Somebody tell these Maryland governors to be for real. And we recall all of these events just to prove the water buggers in the Watergate wasn't no news. The thing that seems to justify all of our fears is that all this went down in the last 5 years. But tell me, what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. We leave America to ponder the image of justice from its new wave of leaders. Frank Rizzo, the high school graduate mayor of Philadelphia, whose ignorance is surpassed only by those who voted for him. Richard Daley, imperial Napoleonic mayor of Chicago, who took over from Al Capone and continues to implement the same tactics. George Wallace, Lester Maddow, Strom Thurmond, Ronald Reagan, an almost endless list that won't be missed when at last America is purged. And the silent White House with the James brothers once in command. But see the sauerkraut mafia men deserting the sinking White House ship and their main mindless megalomaniac Ahab. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. And what are we left with now? Bumper stickers that say Free the Watergate 500. Spy movies of the same name with a cast of thousands. And that ominous phrase that if Nixon knew, Ag knew. But Ag didn't knew enough to stay out of jail. And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray. And there are those who swear they've seen King Richard. 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 Beneath that cesspool, Watergate. Four more years of that.
H2O Gate Blues by the visionary Gil Scott-Heron with Brian Jackson on piano. Gil was, of course, rapping before rap was called rap. And back then in 1975, he was talking about the Watergate crisis while the plot was still unfurling. But it's amazing how his words still have great resonance down the decades. Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. You can also find full details of all the music I'm playing tonight online. Just find the Lake Junction page amongst the BBC Radio 3 web pages, and from there you can get to our playlist or even listen again to this programme whenever you wish over the next 7 days. There's also details about the Edinburgh Festival Lake Junction tickets there. Time for two intriguing pieces from Brazil. Firstly, this one in 5-4 by Quarteto Original, featuring Carlinhos Antunes and Rui Barossa, along with Swiss jazzer Thomas Rohrer and Shetland fiddler Chris Stout. 5 Pro 4.
Thank you.
Ballado das Musicarias by Lula Cortés and Zé Ramalho, a track that was originally part of Paibiru, an album recorded on a mystical archaeological site where the rocks are said to have messages from aliens carved into them. Yes. On a less cosmic note, copies of the original album apparently change hands for around $3,000 each. I wonder how much they cost on Alpha Centauri. and so to Beethoven. And Jeremy Denk's performance of the second movement of the Sonata No. 32 in C minor, the Arietta. Beethoven's late works have inspired many authors, from Philip K. Dick in Flow My Tears, the Policeman Said, to Thomas Mann in Dr. Faustus. Here's Milan Kundera getting stuck in. It's from his Book of Laughter and Forgetting. Variation form was Beethoven's favourite towards the end of his life. At first glance, it seems the most superficial of forms, a simple showcase of musical technique, work better suited to a lacemaker than to a Beethoven. But Beethoven made it a sovereign form for the first time in the history of music, inscribing in it his most beautiful meditations. The voyage of variations leads to that other infinity, into the infinite diversity of the interior world, lying hidden in all things.
Thank you.
The second movement of Beethoven's Sonata number 32 in C minor, opus 111, the Arietta, Adagio, Molto Semplice e Cantabile, performed by Jeremy Denk, king of the piano virtuoso bloggers of our time. And that brings us very close indeed to the end of Late Junction for tonight, and indeed for this week. I'm Max Reinhardt, and I'll be back with Late Junction next Tuesday at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, on World on 3 tomorrow night, you can hear a session from Samba Mapangala, and that's introduced by Lopa Guattari. And at midnight on BBC, Six Music's Freakier Zone, you can hear Fiona Torkington chatting to Stuart McConey about her love of Norwegian music. Oh, and on Monday night, there's Jazz on 3 with a session from British sax man John Butcher and his Apophonics trio. I'll leave you tonight with a gospel tune recorded back in 1928, Picking on the Harp with the Golden String by the Elkins Payne Jubilee Singers. So, till next Tuesday, good night and thanks for listening.
Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, to the Lamb, 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 Lamb. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, picking on a harp with a golden string.
If you get there before I do,
picking on a harp, picking on a harp,
tell all of my friends I'm coming too.
Picking on a harp with a golden string. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, to the Lamb, 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 Lamb. Oh hallelujah. Oh hallelujah, picking on a harp with a golden string. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, to the Lamb, 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 Lamb. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, picking on a harp with a golden string.
When I get on my golden shoes,
picking on a harp, picking on a harp,
I'm gonna walk about a heaven and tell all the news.
Picking on a harp with a golden string. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah. Oh hallelujah to the Lamb, 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 Lamb. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, picking on a harp with a golden string. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah to the Lamb, 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 Lamb. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, picking on a harp with a golden string.
The devil am mad and I am glad,
picking on a harp, picking on a harp.
He missed a soul he thought he had,
picking on a harp with a golden string. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah to the Lamb, 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 Lamb. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, picking on a harp with a golden string. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah to the Lamb, 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 Lamb. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, picking on a harp with a golden string. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah to the Lamb, 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 Lamb. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, picking on a harp with a golden string.
I'm John Shea and welcome again to Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. More from the 2011 BBC Proms. First this morning, Manfred Honeck conducts the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra in Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony. Later, before that, Hélène Grimaud plays Beethoven's Fourth Piano Concerto. Their programme began with a Proms debut for the composer Walter Braunfels. Inspired by one of his favourite composers, from the First World War years come his fantastic appearances of a theme of Hector Berlioz, a set of variations lasting some 50 minutes in all. The Pittsburghers' 15-minute selection presents the theme and just one variation. Don't be fooled by Braunfels' title. The Berlioz theme is not from the Symphonie Fantastique, but The Damnation of Faust.
Thank you.
I first discovered Walter Braunfels' music when we staged his Princess in Brambilla in Wexford a few years ago, with a carnivalesque story similar to Berlioz's Benvenuto Cellini. Well, it was the Damnation of Faust that supplied Braunfels with Mephistopheles' Song of the Flea as the basis for those fantastic appearances of a theme of Hector Berlioz. And I'm happy to say that Braunfels' grandson came to the proms to hear Manfred Honeck and the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra play it. And so to restore some calm, Beethoven's Fourth Piano Concerto now with Hélène Grimaud as soloist.